We're so thankful for all who have come on this day to be a part of the service, and we trust that when we have completed this morning, that God would have been pleased with the things that we have done as we have offered the sacrifices of our
praise unto Him. I hope you all have our Bibles this morning. We want to go to the Word of God. We thank Brother Rico for reading selected passages from John chapter 4. It'll be those passages as well as others that will be the framework or the groundwork for our lesson on this morning. In John chapter 4, about the first 42 verses, has to do with an encounter of a Samaritan woman with Jesus, as well as her fellow countrymen. And as a result of the experience and encounter that this woman had with Jesus, the people of that region, many of them believed on Christ because of her words. However, when Jesus came into their city upon their begging him to remain with them, the Bible says he stayed there for two days. They, that is, the people of that city, also witnessed an encounter with him. And they said that they were convinced, not because of the woman's words, but because they had heard him themselves. Our Lord is revealed to us today in his words. And in this manner, that is, in his word, we are able to have a, quote, personal encounter with him. Not personally as they did, but in a sense, we can have a personal encounter with our Lord when we study his word. When we read it and when we understand it. And of course, some of it we may never fully understand it, except by faith. But when we read it and when we understand it, then our response ought to be the same as those Samaritans' response was. Today is our evangelism emphasis Sunday, each fourth Sunday, and we certainly are grateful if you're here. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, someone invited you to come. We thank you for being here. We want to encourage you to, along with us this morning, have a personal encounter with the word of the Lord, that you might be helped and that we ourselves might be strengthened even in our faith to be more dedicated to our Lord. So I say to all of us then today, when you read it, why not believe it? That's our lesson title this morning. When you read it, why not believe it? Let's notice something about this story that hopefully will help us to see the point that I want to make in this lesson today. First of all, let's go back and let's talk a little bit about the Samaritan woman's experience that she had with Jesus. She had a unique experience with our Lord. First of all, when our Lord met her, she was surprised that he would even have anything to do with her because she was a Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 10 points that out to us. Points out how she was so surprised that he would even have anything to do with us. The Bible says, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, and this is her surprise statement. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then Jesus said this, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So in her experience with Jesus, she was so surprised that he would even take the time to even deal with her. He being a Jew, and she being a Samaritan. Then, of course, she goes on and she begins to press it a little bit further, and she questions him about, you don't even have anything to draw water with, and the well is deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and his children, and the cattle that came here to drink? Jesus says, if you drink of this well, you're going to thirst. You're going to thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I give, he said, he shall never thirst. Then she said, Lord, give me some of this water. And then here's the second unique thing about this experience. John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The second unique thing about her experience was that Jesus told her something most likely that she didn't expect him to know. He had never met this woman. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. They have no dealing one with another, as she herself has already said. So she didn't expect him to know about her life, her former life. So I'm sure that sort of surprised her too. But when she heard his response, she perceived that he must have been a prophet. Who could tell her that and not be a prophet? She perceived that he was a prophet. That's what verse 19 says. And then, of course, the conversation continues, and now he gets into worship. She brings up the conversation of worship, and he gets into this conversation with her in worship, about worship. But then, as the conversation continues, she learns that he is much more than just a prophet. He's not just a prophet, but he is the Messiah. He is the one that was to come. She doesn't know it right then, but she says to him, in John chapter 4, verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you, I'm he. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. So once learning that he was more than a prophet, then she goes back to the city. And she tells the people in her city. Verse number 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Again, she was looking for the Christ, looking for the Messiah. Evidently, she had heard about that the Messiah was to come, but she didn't know that this was one, that he was the one she was talking to right then until Jesus tells her. And once she learns that, then she goes back to her hometown, goes back to her city, and she says, come see a man that has told me everything. He's told me everything that I did. Jesus knows everything that we've done. He knows our life. He knows us. He knows everything about us because he is God himself. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 points out the fact that he is God. So being God, he knows all about us. No wonder he knew her past life. He knows what is in us. He doesn't have to ask anything about us. He already knows that. Then when she goes back to the city, the people of her city, they respond beautifully to her testimony. John chapter 4 and verse number 30, the Bible says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Who is a better person to come to than Jesus? He's the best person that we can come to. Got problems in your life, you need to go to Jesus. Jesus can help us. Learning more about Jesus and learning about Jesus ought to provoke everyone to come to him because he has given us a great invitation to come to him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is a great person to come to. And so these people of Samaria, after the lady came and gave them her testimony, the Bible says again that they came out of the city to him. Unfortunately today, as it was even in Jesus' day, that many people still will not come to Jesus. John chapter 5, Jesus talked about it there in John chapter 5 and verse number 39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they, the Bible says, that testify of me. But then verse number 40 says this, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Many people are missing the life that they can really have, true life that they can really have, because they refuse to come to Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning, if you haven't come to Jesus, you need to come to Jesus. Because only in him can you have true life. And all of us, I'm sure, want to have that everlasting life. But then the Bible goes on in the story and says in verse number 39, many of the people believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Many of them took her word for it. But then apparently in the crowd, there were others who wanted to hear him for themselves. And verse number 40 says this, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And as a result, the Bible says in verse 41, many more believed because of his own word. And then this is what this group of many more said. Notice what they said. Verse number 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's the great lesson that I want us to get from our study together this morning. That these people in this group says, yes, we heard what you said. But that's not really the reason why we believe it. We believe it because we have heard him ourselves. We need to be of that mindset, brothers and sisters. Even though somebody may tell us the right thing from the book, but we don't need to believe it just because we hear somebody say it. We need to believe it because we can see it and read it for ourselves. And when we can see it and read it for ourselves, we can be sure that they have told us the right thing. I remember the Berean in Acts chapter 17. Paul had spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica, and because of the persecution that came upon him, he had to leave town. But he went into the area of the city of Berea. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, Paul and Silas of Silvanus, they were traveling together. They had preached to these people there. And the Bible says this in verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word, the Bible says, with all what readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They heard Paul and Silas teach, and they heard them preach, and they received these words readily. They had an open mind. But they didn't just stop because they heard them. The Bible says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And as a result of that, the next verse says, therefore, many of them believe. Why did they believe? They believe, yes, Paul and Silas preached to them, but they didn't just believe it because they preached. They believe it because they could read it with their own eyes. So I'm saying to us, we need to have that mindset. And when we read it, we ought to believe it. But many folks today will read it, but they still will not believe it. So I'm encouraging us all then this morning to have the mindset of these Samaritans. As they said to the lady, yes, we heard you, but we don't believe it just because you said it. We believe it because we have heard it ourselves. I said already, we can have a personal encounter with the Lord through his word. And when we read his word, when we study his word, we are listening to what he says. Those words came directly from him. And so when we read it, we are hearing him with our ears because he's God's spokesman. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear son. I hope we all got our Bibles. Notice the scriptures didn't go up there. I want us to look in the Bible. I want us to be able to see this with our own eyes, because somebody at the back may not even be able to see up here that's being projected up here. I want us all to open our Bibles and look at what these scriptures say, so that we can say that I see what the preacher is saying up there this morning, but I'm going to believe it, not because he says it, but I'm going to believe it because I'm reading it right here in my Bible. Christ is God's spokesman. And God has told us, Matthew chapter 17
and verse number 5. I've asked my brother that I may want somebody to read for me this morning. As you read along with what he says, Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5, this has to do with something happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured before them. And in that transfiguration, they got so excited up there. Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us build 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse number 5 says what, Brother Malone? Do you have it? It says what? The Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud
which said,
this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Did y'all hear that?
Yep.
That voice came from heaven. That was the voice of God.
Right.
God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You hear him. So when you hear whatever the Lord has to say, why not believe it? Now, I'm asking you to do that. But don't do it because I asked you to do it. Do it because you just read it. These Samaritans again says, we heard what you said. But we don't believe just because you said it. We believe because we have heard him ourselves. So God says, listen to my Son. And I want to tell us this morning, when we go to Acts chapter 3, that there is a great penalty awaiting us when we refuse to hear or listen to God's Son. And I know none of us want that penalty to fall upon us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, over about verse number 20, down about verse number 20, there's something that's said there. And the Bible says what?
And he shall send
and
Jesus
he
Christ.
He shall send Jesus. God's going to send Jesus Christ.
Which before was preached unto
was
you.
Whom the heaven
must receive
until the time of restitution.
Of all things. Which God
has spoken by the mouth.
Of all his holy prophets. Since the world began. For Moses truly said,
Unto the fathers,
a prophet
shall the Lord your God raise up
unto you
of your brethren,
like unto me.
Him shall you hear
in all things.
Who is he talking about, brothers and sisters, Christ, friends and neighbors? He's talking about Jesus.
Christ.
This is what God is saying in reference to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and read that in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that he was talking about right there. He says, God is going to raise up a prophet
right from
among you, brethren, and him shall you hear in all things.
Whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, we need to listen to what Christ has to say. Amen. No matter what it is, we need to listen to what he has to say. Amen. And then he goes on and says that if you don't listen to him, the next verse says what?
And it shall come to pass
that every soul
which will not hear that prophet
shall be destroyed
from among the people.
Do you want to be destroyed? Do I want to be destroyed? I don't believe we want to be destroyed. That's a great penalty waiting for those who refuse to hear what Jesus has to say. Now, don't believe that because I said it. Believe it because you just read it. Said, if you can read it, then why don't you believe it? Jesus says in his word there that if we don't hear him, God says we're going to be destroyed. I'm encouraging us this morning to listen to what Christ has to say. He speaks to us again through his word, as I've said. And his apostles and men of inspiration received his word to give to us. They got that word from the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to them before he left this earth. In John chapter 14, if we run over there, we'll find that Jesus promised to send them a comforter, send them the Spirit. And one of the purposes of the Spirit was to bring them the word and to bring to their remembrance in John chapter 14 and verse 26. Notice what the Bible says in that passage. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, what?
But the Comforter,
which is the Holy Ghost,
from whom the Father
will send in my name.
He shall teach you.
Notice that in my name, because we're going to say something else a little bit later about my name.
Right.
The Father is going to send in my name.
He shall teach you all things
and bring all things
to your remembrance
whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what Jesus said to his apostles. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've said unto you. So they got theirs from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You know where the Holy Spirit got his from? From Christ. Why? Because Christ is God's spokesman. The Holy Spirit got what he had to say from Christ. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Notice what the Bible says in that particular passage. John chapter 16 and verse number 13.
How be it?
Jesus is speaking again to the apostles. Howbeit, when he,
the Spirit of truth,
is come,
he will guide you
into all truth.
For he, that is the Spirit, shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear,
that shall he speak.
And he will show you things to come.
So, what did Christ say? Christ says, the Spirit is not going to speak of himself.
Right.
But whatever the Spirit hears, that's what the Spirit is going to say to you.
Right.
Now, where did the Spirit get what they had, what he had to say from?
Right.
He got it from Christ. Because, again, God uses Christ as his spokesman.
Right.
So God gives it to Christ. Christ gives it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives it to the apostles.
Right.
And so as a result, then, we have what the Lord wants us to do in his book then this morning to please him.
Amen.
In John chapter 12, Christ even said that. John chapter 12 and verse number 49. Notice what Christ says there in John chapter 12 and verse 49. Look at what he says.
Christ says, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father
which sent me,
he gave me a commandment.
What I should say and what I should speak. Isn't that beautiful?
Yep.
Isn't that something?
That's beautiful.
Again, going back to Hebrews 1:1, God speaking to us through his Son. God tells the Son tells the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit tells the men of inspiration and the apostles. So now we got what Christ wants us to have today. So don't believe it again because the preacher says it, because the teacher says it, or because somebody else says it. Believe it because you can read it in the Bible. If you can read it, why not believe it? So reading his word then is the same, as I said, as hearing him speak it. Then why not believe it and obey it? Because again, it was inspired or it came from God. So when you read certain things in God's word for us today, such as, there is only one way to heaven. When you read something about that, don't believe it just because I said it. Believe it because you can read it. You notice what happened in John chapter 14? We go back to the book of John chapter 14. We know that beautiful passage, no doubt that perhaps all of us can probably recite. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We love that passage, don't we? But you know what Thomas said? Thomas says, in verse number 5, he asked Jesus a question. Verse number 5, he says what, Brother Willie?
Thomas said unto him, Lord,
We know not whither thou goest,
and how can we know the way?
Then Jesus says what?
I am the way,
the truth, and the life.
No man cometh unto the Father,
cometh unto the Father
but by me.
Jesus says, the only way to heaven is by me. That's just one way. That's why everybody need to come to Christ. That's why I already said everybody need to come to Christ, because that's the only way we can get to heaven. And in coming to Christ means that we have to submit our will to him and do what he tells us to do in order to be saved. We have to come to Christ. He says he's the way, the only way to heaven. So when you talk about one way to Christ, believe it because you can read it. Act upon it because you can read it. And then when you talk about, is baptism necessary for salvation? I can preach it all day long. Somebody else can teach it all day long. But don't believe it because we say it. Believe it because you can read it. Jesus is the Savior in Mark chapter 16. Go to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 and 16, where he gives the great commission. Notice what he says to his apostles there in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 beginning. He says what? Go into what? All the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
But he that believeth not
shall be damned. Don't believe that because I said it. Believe it because you can read it. And if you can read it, then why not believe it? I'm telling us again, when we read God's word, we are listening to him talk to us. Just like these Samaritans, when they came and they heard Jesus talk to them, they said, we don't believe it because we heard you. We believe it because we heard him ourselves. So we're just reading these scriptures this morning. All of us are reading our Bibles. And I'm asking us, if we read it, why don't we believe it? Why then is there so much controversy about whether baptism saves or not, whether one needs to be baptized in order to be saved or not? If Jesus is the Savior and Jesus says that is necessary, I believe it's necessary. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20 and 21, there's a parallel there of the saving of those 8 souls to baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, notice what Peter says when he writes by inspiration of the Spirit. He says there,
which sometimes
were disobedient,
when once
the long-suffering of God
waited in
the days of Noah,
while the ark was preparing,
wherein few,
eight souls were saved by water.
We know that story when we go back to Genesis and read it, don't we? How the flood covered the whole earth. All living human beings perished. Except 8 people. And that's what Peter is talking about. And then he goes on and he says, what else, Brother Malone?
The lack figure,
just like this, just like they were saved by water then, just like this, he said, the lack figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. How in the world, when somebody read that, they don't believe it?
Right.
It's just as plain as day that baptism saves us. How can somebody say, then, you don't need to be baptized to be saved? If the Bible says it, then we ought to believe it, because we can read it with our own eyes. There's no other name whereby we must be saved. Remember I told you I was going to talk about that a little bit? There's no other name that we can be baptized. I read that if he can be saved. The scripture says this in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12.
Neither
is there salvation in any other.
For there is none other name
under heaven
given among men
whereby we must be saved. What was he talking about? He was talking about the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus doesn't mean just to call on the name of Jesus. That's not what it's talking about there. It's all right to call on the name of Jesus, but calling on the name of Jesus doesn't in itself mean the name of Jesus, what the scripture is talking about. Staying in that same chapter, going back up just before there, we can find out what he's talking about. Start at about verse number 7.
And when they
Bible says, and when they had set them in the midst,
they asked,
They asked.
By what power?
By what power? Now, Jesus had just healed, or rather Peter, James, and John. They had just encountered this man that was sitting at the gate called Beautiful.
Right.
And they had healed this man by the power of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So now the officials are questioning them. Mm-hmm. So they said, what again now, Brother Malone?
By
and they set them in the midst, and they asked them what?
By what power or what name have you done this?
What else?
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them,
You rulers of the people,
and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined
of the good deeds
done to this impotent man. By what means?
He is made whole.
Be it known unto you all.
And to all the people.
That by the name of Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Whom you crucified.
Whom God raised from the dead.
Even by him.
Does this man stand here.
Before you whole.
By what power, by what name, by what authority have you done this? Mm-hmm. That's what they asked him.
Yep.
So he was saying, by the name, by the power, by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, mm-hmm. have we done this?
Yep.
So when he says, neither is there salvation in any other name, neither is there salvation by any other power, neither is there salvation by any other authority, then that of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has the authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. So whatever we do to please God, it must be done by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that we do to please God, we must have authorization to do that. We must have his approval. Many things are being done in religion that does not have the approval of the authority of Jesus Christ, because we cannot read it. Whatever Jesus wants us to do, we can read it. So if we can read it, why not believe it? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Holy Spirit again that inspired these apostles to write, that Jesus spoke to and got his direction from God, said this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the authority of our Lord Jesus. Giving thanks.
To God and the Father.
By him.
Whatever we do, mm-hmm. if we're trying to please God, whatever we do, it must be done by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that's why we have the communion every first day of the week, because he authorizes that. To fall short of what he authorized means we are not doing it by his authority. There are some who will do it once a month. Some will do it once a quarter. Some even do it once a year. Some don't even do it at all. We got to stick with what we've been authorized to do. Why? Because we can read it in the Bible. Why not believe it? And we find that they did it on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. Whatever we do again, even in our singing this morning as we have sung to our God, we are to sing and make melody, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, in our hearts unto the Lord. That's why you didn't see a piano, you didn't see a drum, you don't see guitars, tambourines, none of those things, because we don't have that authority. To please God, we got to do it by his authority. Yes, I know there are some congregations that's even now going off the deep end, and they're bringing this stuff in. God is not pleased with it. We must do it according to the authority. Then when we talk about the necessity and the importance of being a member of his church, if you can read it, you ought to believe it. Everybody wants to be saved, I'm sure.
But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23, notice what it says there. Ephesians 5 and verse number 23. Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says over there in that particular passage, he says what?
Wives,
submit yourselves unto your own husbands.
That's 22, I'm sorry. Let me drop that to 23.
Okay.
For the husband
is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And this is the point I want us to remember. I want us to remember the other part too, but I want us to remember specifically, remember this. And what now?
And he is the Savior
of the body. Now, if I want to be saved and I read in the Bible that he's the Savior of the body, what does that say? I say I need to be in the body.
You need to be in the body.
Well, somebody said, what is the body? The body is the church. When I go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 and 22 and 23, notice what the scripture says there. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23.
He hath put all things.
He's talking about God, what God had done. God has put all things
on
the Christ's feet
and gave him,
and gave him to be the head over
all
things
to the church,
which is
his body.
The church is his body. So if I want to be saved, then I need to be in this in the body, and the body is the church. That means I need to be in the church. Mm-hmm. Well, will any church do?
No.
Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says there is
one body.
So if there's just one body, then I need to find where that one church is,
mm-hmm.
so that I can make sure I'm in that one body, which is the one church.
Right.
Why is it so important to be in that one body? Because that's where God wants everybody to be saved. That was the mystery that was revealed to Paul and the other apostles. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 3 beginning.
He says, how that
by revelation
he made known unto me
the mystery
as I wrote afore in few words
whereby
when you read
you may understand
my knowledge
in the mystery of Christ
which in other ages
was not made known unto the sons of men
as it is now
being revealed
unto his holy apostles
and prophets
by the Spirit.
Now, what has been made known? The next verse says what?
That the Gentiles.
Here is what now has been made known, that the Gentiles
should be fellow heirs
and of the same body. Not just of a body, but of the same body.
And partakers
of his promise
in Christ
by the gospel. What's the promise of the gospel is that everybody can be saved.
Right.
Now, if we want to be a partaker of that promise, we got to be where the promise is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in his body. That's what we need to be. Now, don't take that just because I said it. We just read it, didn't we? That's where God wants everybody to be, because Christ is the Savior of the body. So if you're going to be saved, then you got to be in the body, that one body, which is the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. And there is just one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A little bit we're going to be through. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 20. Look at what Paul says.
But now?
Are they many members?
Yet.
But one body. One body. How much more plain could that be? Many members, yet but one body. And again, that's why God wants everybody to be baptized into that one body. Go back up to verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12 and 13. For as the body
is one
and has many members,
and all the members
of that one body
being many
are one body.
So also
is Christ.
For by one spirit
are we all baptized
into one body.
Whether we be Jew
or Gentile.
Whether we be bond or free.
All three. And have been made
all to drink
into one spirit.
Into one spirit. What does that say to you and me this morning? That says, again, God wants everybody to be in the same body.
Same body.
When he talks about baptism, that baptism puts you into the same body. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to have the right baptism.
Right.
So you can make sure you get in the same and the right body, the right church, in order to be saved. So what I've said this morning, I'm saying again, the point of the story that we're bringing out with the encounter of the Samaritan woman and the Samaritans with Jesus is that they said, we know you testified about it, but we don't believe because you said so. We believe because we have heard him ourselves. So I'm asking us this morning to believe these things that we've talked about this morning, not because I've said it, but because you've been reading along, hopefully with Brother Malone, in your own Bible, and you know what God says now for yourself. Believe it because you read it. That's the attitude that we need to have if we want to please God. And when we believe it, then we are to obey it and to remain faithful. Because Jesus has promised a crown of life to those who would remain faithful until the end. Revelation 2 in verse number 10. Do you believe it because you read it? Or are you still going to say, I still don't believe it? Sometimes people can read it and they still say, I just can't see that. Well, the devil just don't want them to see it. And the devil is good about blinding folks' minds. And he is blind to many of people's minds. They still can't see it, even though they read it. But I'm saying to you, be like the Bereans. Be open-minded. Say, if I can read it, I need to believe it, and I need to obey it. Why not come to the Lord this morning if you need to? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, why not hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, verse 32. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Do you need to come so that you can be a partaker of the promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel? Would you come this morning? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. Even though you've been reading stuff, you just don't believe it. You just think God's going to overlook some things. Turn away from whatever it is. Turn back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, we hope and trust that you would respond. Respond because you could read it in the Bible. Would you come right now while we stand, while we sing?
Round me now. I follow your glory be.
Would you come? Would you come?
On brow's ground, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thy hand.